Well, let's move on then to Sunday's game. Sunday's game.
Got another London battle.
Yep. And the first one we've got here is the Redskins on the road against the Bengals. Redskins 4-3, fairly hot. Bengals 3-4, kind of puzzling.
Yeah.
Redskins dealing with some injury issues on the offensive side of the ball all of a sudden. Both teams give me your strong plays this week and your, you know, taper expectations picks for this week.
Well, I mean, like we just talked about Matt Jones. I kind of like, you know, I just keep an eye on his – he looks like he was either limited or could have potentially missed practice today, but I think it was more of on a limited basis. But Matt Jones, we got to keep an eye on just because of some of his fumbling issues. I do like a Chris Thompson and Reggie Kelly or Robert Kelly. So those are guys to consider, like we talked about. And then I think Kirk Cousins could be in for a decent week.
I agree.
He just looked pretty good. And it sounds like, I mean, as of right now, Jordan Reed could be back, and that'd be really big for them just because you know how valuable he is to that team.
Right.
No, so if he's back,
he's arguably tight end one. He's right up there with Gronk when he's healthy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. When he's healthy, he's one of the best tight ends in the game, hands down.
Yep.
DeSean Jackson's banged up, so I'm not too excited about him. And he's been a boom or bust all season.
Yep.
I really like Jamison Crowder. I just think he's been super consistent, you know, in the slot, especially in PPR leagues or half PPR leagues. He's a guy, or even daily fantasy, you might be able to get for cheap.
Doxson's already, I want to say as well, not that he's been much so far this year.
He's on IR,
rookie.
So.
He's
out.
Right.
He's out.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So, and then combine that with Jackson, maybe Garcon gets a few more looks or touches than usual
Garcon
this week, where he could maybe be a sneaky play, possibly.
Yeah, he's not a sexy play anymore like he used to be back in, you know, in Indianapolis and everything, but he's been fairly consistent all season. You know, every once in a while, you know, he has his double-digit points, so he gets quite a bit of targets, and especially if a guy like DeSean Jackson can be iffy, Garcon's a decent flex play if you're desperate.
Yeah. Sure. What about now? Okay, so on the Bengals side, last week, Jeremy Hill decided to come back to the NFL after his, you know, long hiatus, absence from the fantasy football relevant world. What happened there? Like, was that just, I mean, he had like 140 yards and 2 touchdowns on like 7 carries or something. That was just a fluke, right?
Oh, definitely. So he was playing the Cleveland Browns. So to me, definitely an anomaly. He had 9 rushes for 168 yards and a touchdown. I mean, it's insane. Like if they had given him 20 carries, he might have gone for 300 yards. So, but they didn't need him to. I think he'll come back to earth this week. I do think he's a decent play though.
Okay.
Just because I mean the Bengals are pretty decent against the run, but I think last week just showed the Bengals that he might be back a little bit. Not saying that's the case exactly, but
sure,
he's a guy to keep an eye on.
So how about his backfield mate, Gio Bernard? Is he
Cincinnati's
a better player
this
week?
Washington is decent against the run, but not very good. Actually, Washington's 26th against the run, so they're not very good.
Okay.
I like Bernard in a PPR format. They like to get him the ball out of the backfield.
Right.
I wouldn't put him on, which is weird because he should be, but I don't put him on like a James White level, but he's that kind of player where he's more of the passing down guy. So in a PPR league, I do think he's a good flex play just because he does see targets out of the backfield. And then obviously, it sounds like, Josh Norman's banged up, not 100%, not sure if he'll be playing it or not, but I know that's something to keep an eye on, but you know, for AJ Green, he's just a monster. That dude's just so talented.
He has seemed a little bit matchup proof this year, at least when it comes to one-on-one matchups with other DBs.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, you know, a secondary matchup, you know, where you've got the coordinator scheming and using the safeties and changing up the coverages and stuff like that. That's not what I'm talking about. I just mean like the mano a mano situations. Yeah. He seems pretty matchup proof so far this year. Yep. In my opinion.
He's the guy you're 100% right. He's a guy you're playing every single week when he's there and healthy, and you set it and forget it with an AJ Green. But so to me, he's obviously a wide receiver one every single week. And then I do like the passing game starting to get a little stronger now. I like Eifert coming back, his second game back this week.
All right.
That's pretty big. I think they'll start to get him more involved and ramp him up a bit. And then Brandon LaFell played pretty well the last few weeks, back-to-back touchdowns. So I think they're getting him more involved as well. So I think the three of those, that combination right there, I think LaFell is more of a flyer flex player if you need it.
Sure.
And then Eifert is one of those, you know, with the carousel of terrible tight end play we've had, might be worth a shot if you're in need.
His upside, if nothing else, especially in like a daily league, you know, his upside's worth what you can bank on from anybody else. That's more expensive anyway.
Exactly.
Cool. So let's see. Next we've got the New England Patriots, 6-1, the big battle with Rex Ryan and the Buffalo Bills. It's Rex's Super Bowl part two already, I want to say, this year. And it's up in Buffalo.
Yep. And Buffalo shut out the Patriots last time, but that was obviously without Brady. So.
Sure. I mean, on paper, these are two pretty good defenses on both teams. But it's also New England versus Buffalo. And these games can be as unpredictable and crazy as you get. Like, I mean, these are the types of games, you know, like these ones are against a Miami or something, where the Patriots will just all of a sudden out of nowhere look like the Vikings did last week a little bit, you know, and they'll end up losing some 35-32 or, you know, squeaking out some shootout that never should have been. So while I expect this game to be more modest, you know, I'm giving the defenses the benefit of the doubts. It still wouldn't surprise me if there's a lot of fantasy points going around in this game, although I'm not banking on it. From a Patriots standpoint, we've got Gronk. Gronk's number one tight end, always.
Yep.
How good of a play is Brady this week against that Bills defense? And who are some of the other players that, you know, you at least expect will be involved a lot and get a fair amount of targets?
Yeah, so right now Brady's a must start every week. He's on pace to, you know, if he plays all 12 games that he's expected to, you know, with the 4-game suspension, he's still on pace to, you know, have over 4,000 yards and 25-30 touchdowns. It's ridiculous right now.
That's incredible.
I know. He's like 39, I think.
Yeah, he is 39.
I mean, the vengeance is real for him. So you're starting him. I don't care who he's playing. He could be playing Denver, and I'm still starting Brady right now.
Sure.
But, you know, I really like the combination of Blunt and White. White, obviously, PPR leagues, he's very good. One of the better receiving backs in the league. And then LeGarrette Blunt, just like most of the bell cow Patriots running backs, he's so hot or cold every week.
Right.
It's all about the opportunities. Right. He's done really well with the opportunities he's been given.
Yep.
But like last week, you saw him burst out and have a huge game. So if they continue to do that, I think, I mean, for me, I'm still starting LeGarrette Blount, just especially with the lack of running back depth
sure.
right now.
Sure.
He's healthy. He's good to go. So I'm starting him. Gronk, like you said, I really do like Edelman a lot. I think they finally got him back involved last week. Didn't have a lot of yards, but again, PPR format, Julian Edelman, when they're featuring him in the offense, he's one of the better receivers to have, just because he'll have double-digit targets.
Okay. Now, on the Bills side, it's pretty slim pickings. My personal opinion, I don't think Tyrod Taylor is much of an option at all this week. I think he is going to be the focus of Belichick's game plan defensively, limiting his mobility.
Especially with a guy like LeSean McCoy potentially being out.
Right, exactly. So then, I mean, you're maybe looking at Gillespie in the backfield for Buffalo is probably it's probably your best Bills fantasy play this week.
I would consider Charles Clay too. I like Tyrod Taylor too. Russell Wilson too, along the lines of Mariota as well, just because he's so dangerous on the ground.
Sure.
Tyrod Taylor's been so consistent. He's been so consistent this year. Especially with, you know, he hasn't had Sammy Watkins most of the season. Robert Woods has been banged up.
Yep.
But he's still posted double digit fantasy points every game except for one. So he's been really good and really consistent. So I'm not saying not start him.
Right.
I would just it would depend on, you know, your situation. If he's your number one QB and you don't have any other option, I'd still consider rolling him out there. Because the Patriots defense is good, but they're not the Seahawks, the Vikings, or the Broncos, where or even the Eagles, where, you know, they're you have to sit the opposite team players because of that defense. So
sure, and like you said too, I think with the injuries the Bills are dealing with, it is possible that they have no choice from an offensive play calling standpoint, but just to be the T-Mobile show, you know, the whole entire time. So that is very possible and a good point that you brought up. Moving on now. Boy, this one's just really sexy. Everything about this is just sexy. We've got the 2-5 New York Jets on the road in Cleveland, where the Browns look to not only become title town for the second time in 1 year, but to also get that much desired first victory of the season for them. They are 0-7. Or maybe at this point they're hoping to go 0-16 and just lock up that number one pick. I'm not sure. Fantasy plays, I'm looking at the running backs, and I'm pretty much drawing the line there with maybe the exception of Terrell Pryor. Last week, Matt Forte comes out of nowhere and finally has a great week when he's sitting on my benches. In the leagues that I've owned him, because I'm sick of him underperforming. Is that something that we should expect at least for one more week against this terrible Cleveland Browns team?
Yes.
Okay, and so then how much do you think Powell's going to get in on that action too? You think there's enough to go around for both of those guys in this particular matchup from a fantasy standpoint?
Well, I think against the Browns, I think you might see both of those guys get opportunities, just because you saw last week with Cincinnati, you had Jeremy Hill only had 9 rushes, but I mean, boy, did he had over 160 yards. So I think that's kind of a comparable option. You know, Matt Forte's the Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard's Bilal Powell in that
sure.
aspect. I think Matt Forte's the guy to own between the two. But I would, you know, with the depleted running back situation right now in fantasy, I'd definitely consider Powell as a flex option this week because of how bad the Browns defense has been. And then I do love Brandon Marshall. He's one of my top wide receiver plays of the week. And then Fitz Tragic, he's back to being the starter again.
He's back in? Oh,
with,
my gosh.
Well, Gino tore his ACL, so Fitzpatrick's back, but he does love Brandon Marshall. He loves throwing him the ball. So I think Fitzpatrick's one of my starts of the week too, just because they're playing the Browns. I think pretty much any quarterback in the league playing the Browns is a must start in fantasy, just because you expect them to, you know, to put up 20 plus points. So I have Fitzpatrick as one of my top sleepers this week.
Wow, that's crazy how things can turn in just the course of a week or two. I couldn't help but get a song stuck in my head, that old song. I don't know who does it, but it's Fitzpatrick. You know that, yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. But on the Brown side then, Kroll's been a really strong play all year.
He
and
has.
The Jets defense hasn't quite been what we thought it would be on paper, what it was on the field last year. Do you see no reason for him to slow down? And not be a decent play this week too, right?
Well, unfortunately, he's one of their only options on offense. I mean, Josh McCown's going to be back this week, it looks like.
Okay.
So that's kind of good news for them. I mean, I don't know how much good news the Browns are going to have, but it's better news for guys like Terrell Pryor,
Yes.
It looks like Corey Coleman was back practicing on a limited basis. I don't know how much you want to rely on that anyways.
Sure, sure.
But that's a consideration in deep leagues. I would just keep an eye on it, but I wouldn't rely on it.
If McCown is back, that totally changes for me where I put Gary Barnage on my tight end ranking.
And Duke Johnson, too.
Yes.
I think their passing game will become more efficient, which, I mean, it's hard to not be more efficient than what they've been. But,
right.
But, I mean, McCown's obviously the best quarterback on the roster right now.
Without question.
Not RG3. Not saying RG3 isn't, but I don't expect him to be back, potentially.
McCown had a couple player of the week performances last year.
He's not that far removed. Play. Yeah, and the Jets' defense, their run defense is pretty good, but their pass defense is nothing to write home about. So,
which is ironic considering how much money they invested into their secondary over the last couple off seasons.
Exactly. But I do like you had said, I like it, Barnage as like a deep tight end play. And then Pryor, obviously, to me, he's one of the top flex or wide receiver two plays every week right now just because the guy's so talented.
They're able to use him in so many different ways.
Yeah. How quickly he's adjusted to playing wide receiver is crazy. He just looks so fluid and smooth. It's crazy to see how good he's become. And he's a free agent this offseason, so he'll probably get paid.
That's a fantastic point. I think everybody is on the surface first and most impressed with how he can physically and athletically do all of these different positions and things. But I think to true football fans and savants, the football IQ that man must possess achieve that level of productivity at those roles, I think is even more impressive and more unique than the physical attributes. But goes unnoticed, so props out Mr. Pryor Sr. From us here in Minnesota this week. Moving on, we got our Roaring Kitties here finally above 500, the 4-3 Detroit Lions on the road in Houston Texans against the 4-3 Texans. One of these teams is moving to 5-3. The other one's fallen to 500.
Unless they tie.
Yeah, right. Unless they pull a Miles and Scotty and tie. And an Arizona. Right.
Seattle. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. It was only fitting. Well, wow. Crazy.
Right. Well, talking about the Lions a little bit, Scotty.
Yep.
I love Matt Stafford. He's just been one of those consistent fantasy players. He just looks so good in their offense right now. And he's spreading the ball around. They have three really fantasy-relevant receivers right now on that team.
Yeah, Marvin Jones.
I like
big time.
Marvin Jones, Golden Tate, Anquan Boldin. I like all three right now.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're kind of in their order. Jones is more of the lower-end wide receiver one, wide receiver two. Tate's more of the low-end two, wide receiver, wide receiver three. And then Boldin's more of that flex option. But I like all three right now as fantasy relevant, which is big. And then Theo Riddick, if he can come back, I'm not 100% sure. I think he's back on a limited basis, but if he's back, I know he'll get the opportunity again to be the guy just because they don't have much at running back right now.
Yep.
So I kind of like most of those guys against the Texans. They are in Houston, so that might play a little factor. But,
sure. And the Texans been statistically really good against the pass so far this year. But those numbers are going to continue to balance out with the absence of J.J. Watt, in my opinion.
And Kevin Johnson. Kareem Jackson's been banged up. Jonathan Joseph's out. So
Yep.
It's hit or miss with them right now.
Right. And then I think, even if Riddick is back, you got to expect Stafford to just be throwing the ball around the yard for the most part. So if you're looking for a quarterback this week, don't hesitate to throw out Matt Stafford, in my opinion, if he's one of your options. I very much like his matchup this week, even though, again, statistically, the Texans on paper have been very good against the pass. What about the Texans? Lamar Miller against that Lions defense, maybe?
Yeah. If he's good to go, I know he banged up his shoulder on Monday night against the Broncos. But if he's good to go, this is definitely a really good start for him. If not, then Alfred Blue's a guy. So I'd definitely keep an eye on Lamar Miller, because if for some reason he doesn't go pick up Alfred Blue with the amount of running backs who are kind of struggling or injured, just because he's going to get the lion's share of the carries at that point. So he would be a decent play this week if that would be the case. So that's something to keep an eye on and kind of in your back pocket.
Absolutely. What about those Texans receivers going up against the Lions pass defense that seems slightly improved?
I have in my notes too, Scotty, that if Osweiler can't light up this Detroit Lions pass defense,
get him out.
You gotta go with somebody else, because that pass defense is terrible, and he has the weapons. He's got everything around him to do it. To me, DeAndre Hopkins has kind of been fading, which is unfortunate, but this should be a good bounce-back week for him. Will Fuller as well. Most of those passing options that they have, those two guys, and then I like C.J. Fedorowicz, their tight end. He seems to be getting more involved within that offense, too.
He is a really nice value tight end to play. Absolutely.
And then we spoke about the running backs. So
yep.
I think the Texans offense, I'm not starting Osweiler at quarterback just because they're better options, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're desperate, he's a guy that you could consider, just because you expect on paper right now the way the Lions defense, pass defense has been, for him to post pretty decent fantasy points.
Sure, absolutely. All right, so the next game we got is the Kansas City Chiefs on the road against the Indianapolis Colts. Colts defense has been terrible, so I'm liking most of the Chiefs in this matchup. What's their running back? What's their backfield look like? How healthy and involved is Jamaal Charles now at this point? And where does Spencer Ware still fit in to that picture?
To me right now, Spencer Ware is the clear-cut number one.
Cool.
And that's even with Jamaal Charles, potentially ramping up a little bit. But it looks like he's just had some MRIs last weekend. They're just trying to figure out what's going on with him. For right now, Spencer Ware is kind of a guy, and he's been a really consistent, RB2 range this year.
Yes.
So I really like Spencer Ware. I think he's a guy you should start this week against the Colts defense.
Definitely.
They're in Indianapolis. But, which I always like, being inside is always changes things, just because, weather never plays a factor.
I think you get more points scored in general indoors than you do outdoors.
I'm sure there's someone's got stats like that, for that. That's above our pay grade. But
yes.
like you'd mentioned, I like most of the Chiefs starters. Guys like Jeremy Maclin and Travis Kelce haven't been what we were hoping they'd be.
But they haven't been busts either.
No, but they're not guys that you're continuously relying on like you might have thought. You thought Kelce would be a top five, top seven tight end. And then Maclin, a solid wide receiver too. Yep. So
I don't know if there are even five top five tight ends in the league.
I know. Crazy. No, you're so right. I like those guys this week. If they can't do it this week, kind of like an Osweiler, it's kind of like, we'll find somewhere else to rely on them in terms of fantasy. And then for the Colts, I love Luck. He looks like he's starting to get it back. The only issue with them is, they're so depleted at the receiver position.
Yeah, yeah.
But the big important thing for them is T.Y. Hilton's still healthy. He's really good, and he's a must play every week for me, just because he's seen all the targets. And then here's a sleeper for you if you're in need of this terrible tight end options, is Jack Doyle.
Yep.
He's been really good and really consistent, and they're throwing him the ball a lot, especially with them losing wide receivers are injured, so he's pretty much their number two option right now.
I think Doyle and is Allen healthy, or is Allen out again? Because he's always
he's
in
out.
And out. Okay.
He's always in and out, and he's never consistent. So I actually really like Jack Doyle more, and it looks like Allen's going to be doubtful this week anyways. Looks like he was on crutches.
At least one tight end touchdown pass from Andrew Luck next this coming Sunday. I'm pretty confident in that.
And it'll be Jack Doyle. So
yep.
I'm starting him this week against the Chiefs. I just like him being their number two option, and he's looked really good. So
I like Frank
Gore as well.
I was just gonna say I'm usually not a Frank Gore guy. You know that about me probably by now. But I do like him this week. I think they're gonna have to try and keep up with some points, but I think he's gonna be a big part of that. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can run the ball between and outside the tackles a little bit.
He's consistent.
To utilize him and all of his abilities this week. So I like him as a fantasy play as well. Because the Chiefs defense is much stronger against the pass usually than against the run so far this year. Also with Barry and Peters and that secondary they got. Moving on to the next game, we've got the Oakland Raiders at 5-2 on the road against the 3-3 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think this could be an absolute barn burner, you know, 52-45. Like there could be a lot of points to go around here. Both defenses stink. Both offenses are fairly high-powered, at least from a passing standpoint. Who do you like? Who do you don't? Who do you not like, if anybody, in this one?
Yeah, I'm like you said. I like on the Raiders side. I like all their their top four players. I really like Carr, Murray, Cooper, and Crabtree.
Yep.
I like all those guys this week. I think they're all really good plays. And then for the Tampa Bay Bucks, I think Winston. Against that terrible pass defense of the Raiders, I think Winston's one of my sleepers this week. And then Jaquizz Rodgers. I mean, the dude was on the street like a month ago, and now he's putting up over 170 yards rushing and doing it all for them right now. So especially in a depleted running back, with the running back being such a depleted position, Rodgers to me he's a must own. If for some reason he's available in a league, go get him. People are looking for running backs. He's a top 15 running back right now, I think.
Jeez.
And then Mike Evans is one of the top wide receivers in all of fantasy, and I might take him over, a lot of some of those top tier guys.
Absolutely, this week against that terrible Raiders pass defense.
I'm even just talking in. I'm not talking about like AJ Green, Antonio Brown, but I'm talking about or Julio Jones. But I'm talking about more. I might consider Mike Evans over Odell Beckham Jr. right now.
Yeah.
Just for the way, the targets, the opportunities, because Beckham's just been so up and posting up fantasy points.
I completely agree. Mike Evans is
the big plays.
His name is at the top of that list, and constantly flirting with joining Julio Jones. And those other names that you mentioned in that number one elite top class. Like he's constantly 1 foot in there, but then 1 foot out. And who knows how much of that is him, how much of that is a young quarterback in Jameis Winston that's still learning, and their coaching staff and whatnot. I like all the wide receivers in this game. I like the quarterbacks in this game, and I'll take running backs if I can get them in this game too.
Exactly.
And in fact, I like Jameis Winston so much in this game that I am starting him in one of my leagues over the quarterback in the next game we're going to talk about, which is